Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Here's a brief but annoying message to let you know that you could have first heard this episode 9 months ago if you were a subscriber to our Iron Filing Society Patreon offering.
For the price of a pint and a St. Clement's each month, you can get up to 4 episodes a week, 9 months before the rest of the world gets them. Early access to regular episodes, lots of other marvellous benefits, and there's absolutely no adverts or brief but annoying messages like this that will get right on your tics.
Find out more and subscribe now at tftimemachine.com/ironfilings.
Here we go, this is it.
This is Top Flight Time Machine, I'm Andy Dawson, pow, pow, pow.
I'm Sam Nifty Delaney, so what?
It's the Manchester Odyssey. And where are we up to? Let's have a look. Just at the beginning, it just says, gives you a little preview at the top of what's going to happen. It says, the rest of the Rovers went to visit Roy Race, .. except Vic Guthrie.
I'm not fucking surprised.
Well, he's a suspect in the shooting,
isn't he? Well, lads, look, we're all going to visit Roy in hospital because he's come round. Are you coming? Am I coming? Are you fucking mental? I'm a prime suspect in his attempted murder. I ain't fucking coming. Oh, I don't know, lad. It's quite disrespectful, like.
What is it? Some kind of fucking honey trap or something? Are they going to fucking lock me up when I get there? Or eject me with something? It's an hospital.
No chance, you fucking scarce pansy.
Slag.
So well, it says at the I don't know. It might look even more suspicious if you won't come.
Fuck I off, want you there. I want you to look Roy in the eye. I want to see it. It says at the top, Melchester Rovers had stormed to an incredible 14-0 victory over Keysborough, setting a new league record. Now, as a kid, I remember this as being 24-0, so that just shows you the foibles of the childish mind, doesn't it? I always remember 24-0. You can't trust anything a kid says or thinks or remembers.
Mind you, I've got this thing where I thought that Blake 7 were in fact not 7. There was 6, and that was a weird quirk. Do you know what I mean?
But, I don't know, I never watched Blake 7.
Or maybe
was
there
was
six.
Was one of them not was, a robot
there was
dog
six
or something
humans
like
and one of them was a computer. But, you know, what I'm saying is we all misremember shit or shit confused us when we were kids.
The lesson is you can't trust anyone. Ever. Setting a new league record and a live commentary on the game has helped Roy to recover from a gunshot wound. Outside Melchester General Hospital, where a crowd of fans had kept constant vigil. And there we've got a news reporter. Who does he look like? Who does he look like, that reporter?
Well, I'll tell you, he looks a bit more like a handsome version of Archie Buchanan.
Right.
Right, yeah. But Archie Buchanan had more, like, of an afro thing going on. But he's reminiscent of Archie Buchanan. But this was the Buchanan era. I mean, a lot of men had like this because he looks a little bit like Terry Mack too, but more handsome. Is he a little bit like Magnum?
There's a bit of Magnum there, almost a white Ray Parker Jr. as well. you know what? This is I remember this the other day. You know what I've talked about, the man fence that I was going to have with me mates years ago.
Yeah.
We tried to hire Ray Parker Jr. as a keynote speaker, and it came back to us $20,000. I think we could have gone for
that. But imagine if he'd not just done the song. Imagine if he'd first done a PowerPoint.
Yeah, that's
great,
what we wanted. We wanted a talk. We weren't that bothered about doing Ghostbusters.
With his approach to marketing.
But get this, I had no idea about this, and I saw this on a BBC 4 documentary about soul music the other night. Ray Parker Jr. played guitar on Stevie Wonder's Inner Visions album.
Fuck in hell.
Get a load of that. I thought Ray Parker Jr. is just fucking one-hit wonder Ghostbusters man.
Mm.
No.
Well, a lot of these lads, I mean, like, did you ever watch that thing about backing singers? What was it called? 12 Yards from Stardom or something?
No, I've not seen it, but I know the one you mean, yeah.
Like Van Dross, I mean, it's probably more commonly known, but he was backing singer for so many years, for so many big acts.
He even did backing vocals for Boy on the Young Americans album.
Yeah.
He was part of that.
So you never know, these people all have backstories.
I was listening to
historical Desert Island Discs this morning on my morning
As
run of Jack Charlton being interviewed by the ever patronising Sue Lawley. All of Sue Lawley's interviews, right, are she's the most awful person, right, because she's so snobby. And, like, everyone she interviews who's not posh, she has this amused, patronising approach to. Like, if you want to hear it at its zenith, listen to the interview she does with Paul Whitehouse in the 90s when the Fast Show is at its height. Right,
yeah.
And he fucking very subtly just fucks her for it, and she doesn't even see it's happening. Right? He does it really, he subtly power plays, and she said, and of course, you're from a very humble background. And he's sort of like, well, yeah, sort of. I mean, you know, it wasn't Dickensian, but, you know, my dad was a painter or something like that, you know.
You were employed as a plasterer for a while, I believe.
Yeah, all of that sort of stuff. And she's sort of almost, it was so amusing. It must have been so confusing for you to have suddenly had money, right, and all this stuff. And he just very subtly gets his own back by responding every question she asks him. He goes, well, Sue, and he just, like, well, Sue, like that to everything. It's very clever, but in this one, Jack Charlton, she's going, and of course, your father was in the pit, and he's going, yeah, and she goes, and the house was very, very small, right? She's putting words into his mouth, and he's going, yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, money was always tight. That was the sort of family we were from. She went, yes, and the tin bath by the fire, right? And he just completely ignores it because he's never fucking mentioned a tin bath by the fire. She's just gone mad. She's gone into a frenzy of listing northern working class cliches, anything she can think of. You raised ferrets, presumably. Beef dripping on bread on a Sunday.
Black pudding for breakfast.
Anyway, the bit I was going to mention was he got picked for England only when he was 29. I didn't know that. It's quite late. And they'd just played Manchester United in the semi-final of the Cup, Leeds. And Leeds had won, right? And I think it was at Elland Road. And so United were absolutely distraught. And he came off the field and went into the changing room. Dom Revie pulled him aside and said, I've got some good news for you. I've had a call from Alf Ramsey. You've been picked by England to play against Scotland. And he said, and the first thing he did, because I was already euphoric because we'd just got ourselves to the Cup final. He went, and the first thing I did was, I just walked across the hallway into the away dressing room and walked into United's dressing room and walked straight over to our kid, right, meaning Bobby. He went, he sat there with his head in his hands because I've just knocked him out of the Cup. They go, you never guess what's happened, our kid. And he goes, what? He goes, I've only been picked for fucking England. And he goes, and our kid goes, oh, congratulations, I'm very happy for you. In a voice just like that, no meaning behind it at all. Like, I'm like, you don't even mean it, you bastard. And then I looked around the room and I realised where I was. I was in an away dressing room just after my team had knocked his team out of the FA Cup, and I've just bowled into it and started bragging about being picked for England. And she went, yes, you were never known for your tact, were you? And I thought, that's a Teddy Sheringham move. Do you know what I mean? They fucking lost. He's bowled straight in. Oi, oi, how'd you like that then, cunts? And guess what?
Guess who's playing for England?
Guess what? Not only, hands up who's in the Cup final. Oh, just me then. And guess what? Just to double bubble it, I've just been fucking picked for England as well. TTFN dickheads.
And it Sue Lawley said, what was it? Yes, you were never known for your tact.
Yeah, okay, she was, you were never known for your tact, were you? And he went, no, I wasn't. You bitch.
You ghastly northern man.
She's literally going, you were not known for spending much money when you were a club manager, but I suppose that's because of your background. She literally says, you probably, anything you ever did have, you had to hold on to because you never knew if you'd have it again.
Fucking hell.
She literally says that, and he just sort of goes, well, It was more like when I manage a football club, I try to do my best to bring through players that we've already got at the club. I think that's a better way of doing it.
Yeah. Yes, but it must be informed by the fact that you were so poor.
Fucking hell.
Upbringing. You know what frugal means, Jack.
Let it go, Sue, you fucking lunatic.
I mean, Sue Lawley is a fucking newsreader. That's it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? She reads stuff out.
But when I went for a phase of listening to a lot of Desert Islanders, and I identified this as her MO, right?
Mm.
And her whole vibe was... And to be fair, there's a huge part of the Radio 4 demographic who are probably just like that and fucking love it.
Tuned into it,
and
yeah,
it's almost like an apology. Like, once in a while, we have a working class back person on.
Yeah, yeah.
But don't worry, we'll put them in their place swiftly, right? And... But so I sort of... I was getting enraged by listening to her doing these interviews, and so I did a bit of digging. And I'm pretty
sure...
Not a good
time on your hands or anything.
This is quite a while ago. I'm pretty sure that I discovered that she was from a fairly lower middle class background, so she was an aspirant, and those are the people who are always the snobbiest.
They're the worst. They really
are.
They're
the worst.
Yeah.
And I think
she'd
sort of... I mean,
the posh upper classes just wallow around... in the money that they've always had,
yeah,
and they don't know any different. Working class people kind of just make do with what they've got, but then you get that the lower middle class,
and they're obsessed with status and money.
Yeah, they think they're entitled to more than they've got,
and
they're the worst.
And they're the quickest to judge people who don't have it, or people who are like, it's a lot of to do with self hatred. And I read something like, I think she'd sort of, you know, she'd gone to like a grammar school and somehow got to like not quite Oxbridge, but like. A decent uni, and
she'd obviously, at it now, Sam.
She was working overtime to demonstrate that she was of the higher echelons.
Well, listen to this. Born in Sedgley, Dudley, England, and brought up in the Black Country, she was educated at Dudley Girls High School. She graduated in modern languages from the University of Bristol, where she dropped her Dudley accent in favour of received pronunciation. I mean, Dudley's quite a very, very distinct accent, isn't it?
It is, yeah. But she's
that's
like,
how Sue Lawley used to talk.
I used to talk like that, but now I'm going to beat the paper, sorry. She used to talk like Noddy Holder. And to listen to her on Desert Island Dish, she talks like the fucking queen.
Exactly.
But I bet if she ever lost it, well, of course there was that famous, was it an urban myth or was it just a story that was true about her accidentally getting recorded, having it off in a BBC studio. Do you remember that? It's quite a classic one.
Yeah, she's still alive, though, so...
we can't say it. But I wonder if she was recorded in the throes of sexual ecstasy, whether she lapsed into a Dudley accent.
Into Dudley, Probably.
Most people go to their actual, more authentic accent in the throes of sexual ecstasy, don't they?
Well, there's someone who can't be triggered anymore. I don't really remember. But I imagine so.
It's like that scene in My Fair Lady, one of the funniest scenes of all time, when Eliza Doolittle is acting all posh, but then as her horse comes in, she fucking drops it all and starts shouting in massive cockney. Go up, my son!
I'm looking at that. It's on a list of urban myths online. The Sue Lawley thing. Yeah, well, not her.
Might have done for her, that rumour, because once that rumour got really popularised... They replaced with Kirsty Young, who is much better. Like, I mean, Kirsty Young, unfortunately, isn't doing it anymore. Although Lauren Laverne, who, of course, is one of your own, is very brilliant at it too.
Yeah, she's
good. But Kirsty Young was fantastic at it. Jalapeño.
A lot can happen in 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Jalapeño. Sue Lawley's still knocking around. She's only 74. But I don't think she's done much for a while.
I've been reduced to doing corporate videos in the Dudley area. And me, a graduate of Bristol University in Modern Languages.
The last thing I could see on a Wikipedia page that she did was significant was ITV's Election 97. She was probably appalled by the fact she'd had to go to ITV. That she retreated from public life.
And the fact that that ghastly Tony Blair was elected.
Yeah.
That night. She retreated from public life then.
Retired immediately.
Britain is no longer the Britain that I was raised in.
Now, she did this out of this till 2006.
Well, listen to the Paul Whitehouse one, because it's really funny. Obviously, because it's Paul Whitehouse, so it's brilliant. It's also from the 90s, so obviously it's brilliant. But it's the best example of her trying to patronise one of her subjects.
Someone
and just
from
getting
the
lower
orders.
Yeah. Someone from the lower orders who's infinitely more clever than her.
Yeah. I'm going to listen to that later on me hammock.
Yeah, and then listen to the Jack Charlton one and all.
And that as well. Anyway, shall we get back to Roy the Rovers?
Yeah.
So, Ray Parker Jr. there. he's on the TV outside the hospital. He said, "Celebrities have been arriving all day to congratulate Roy on his recovery. Even the Minister for Sport has made a personal visit." Oh, the Minister for Sport.
Whoa. Oh,
fucking hell. Fuck that.
Remember that bloke Moynihan, I think his name was.
Colin Moynihan, yeah.
Colin Moynihan, he was the one who tried to... What did he try to introduce? Was it ID cards?
It was ID cards into football, yeah. But I think he was just Thatcher's fucking little boy doing that for on her behalf.
Yeah.
He was a little fucking errand boy. But he looked like someone who'd not done any sport, but he'd been a rower or something, hadn't he? He'd done...
He was probably a cox, because he was a little cunt. I bet he was a cock. I bet if you asked him, actually, I was involved in rowing at a very high level.
Yeah.
And then you get it out of him that he never fucking touched the oar.
Which is the most important thing, because it's like being the driver.
Yeah, you just fucking sat there with a loud hailer, not breaking a sweat, you cunt.
I was the driver.
Actually,
all the
I did sometimes shout so
engine.
Loud. And what do you actually have to shout anyway? Row, 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 row. Row. What else you fucking... There's no tactics. It's just you rowing in a straight fucking line.
You could just get a metronome to do it, couldn't you? Tick, tick, tick.
Yeah. He's probably got a fag on the go. Row faster. Fucking faster. The others are catching up. Quick. They're coming.
Yeah, occasionally turn around and have a look.
Fucking hell. They're gated on us.
Row.
Get a fucking shift on.
And then the Rovers arrive in their civvies. Bucky's got a white polo neck on and a blue jacket, looking very smart. And some of the fans there, grown men no less, wearing their Melchester scarves and hats. And they say, "It's the Rovers!" Another one says, "Hooray!"
Fuck, grow up, mate.
Not only are these cunts hanging about outside hospital wearing scarves and bobble hats, they then see their fucking players come up and they go, "Hooray!" There's another one shouting.
These are adults. Some of them look like young adults, like they're maybe just in their early 20s, but still, mate, you're a fucking adult.
Yeah.
There must be other shit you should be doing right now.
Yeah. It isn't this.
I mean, if Mark Noble, heaven forbid, was shot in the head and ended up in a coma in hospital, I would be worried and I would be sad, but I would not be going all the way over to fucking Essex to hang around outside a hospital in a West Ham scarf and bobble hat. You know?
I could see that happening.
I wouldn't. I'd be like, I'd think about it most days, right? I'd worry. I'd probably write some tweets, like thoughts and prayers. Me and Len would talk about it a lot.
Yeah,
but I wouldn't be going over there in a fucking hat and scarf to just skulk around outside the hospital. Fuck that. I've got other shit to do. I've got podcasts to record. Do you know what I mean? Like, I got the kids to pick up from school.
Would you do a one-off series of Mark Noble recovery podcasts, though? Do you know what I mean? With updates and thoughts and feelings.
I would. That would, yeah. Because what you got to think about that is, yes, that would be good. It would be a way of me showing how much I was concerned, but also I could probably monetize that, and there's the appeal.
It's really hard for me to monetize going all the way over to a hospital in Essex and just skulking about, you know? Unless
that's what it's all about, isn't it?
Unless I did the reports live from outside the hospital on my podcast.
Well, that could be good. Talking to the fans that are there in their West Ham scarves and hats.
How are you feeling today? Well, obviously, we're still really worried about Nopes. The doctors won't speak to us because they say you've got to be close friends or family, which is frustrating. But, you know, we're just gonna wait here until such a time there is news, good or bad. Thanks a lot, lads. Yeah? Keep the faith,
what
yeah?
What do they do?
Stay strong.
Because it'll be the Cockney Hospital that will be like when a member of the royal family has a baby, they'd put the news out on a board, wouldn't
yeah.
they? And the board would be bordered by jewels, like a pearly king would have.
At Cockney hospitals, if you're waiting for a birth or a death, they release different coloured smoke from the hospital chimney.
Claret and blue smoke.
The smoke is either claret or blue.
Yeah.
Right? And if it's claret, which is similar to blood, it's what a lot of Cockneys call blood. Claret. Oh, I have claret all over my boat. Right? Which means I've got blood all over my face. But they'll release claret blood to signify that he is dead.
Yep.
And blue smoke would mean he is out of the coma and in a stable condition. Right. And
God
then they do
the Cockney hospital.
When a Cockney baby is born, very simple. Claret's a bird and blue's a geezer.
A boy.
Yeah.
God bless the Cockney Hospital.
Yeah. A good traditional Cockney birth in a proper Cockney hospital.
A good old knees up in A&E on a Friday night.
You know, there's only one way that you can be more authentically Cockney than being born in a Cockney hospital, and that's being born how I was born, in Billingsgate Fish Market, under one of the fish filleting tables in your old mum's tea break.
There's nothing better than going into A&E at the Cockney Hospital on a Friday night, striding in, going over to the old Joanna and looking out of tune. And we all have a sing-song.
To be honest, that's the best medicine of all. You won't find much in the way of penicillin or antibiotics in a fucking Cockney Hospital. We got no chat with that. What you need is a bit of laughter, and there's no faster route to laughter than the old Joanna and Anisa.
You go anywhere in the world and they all say laughter's the best medicine. Not in the Cockney Hospital. Anisa's the best medicine.
Doctor, we've got someone coming. He's just been glassed in the boat by Millwall. He accidentally strayed south in a river and things came on top. Right, get the piano. We're going to have to knees up hard.
Why, oh
he's
man,
got lacerations all over his boat race. Knees up, stat.
The wheel the piano in on a trolley.
There's a geezer in a mask and a white coat. Roll out the barrel, we'll have a barrel of fun.
A pint on top of the piano.
Beep, 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 beep. He seems to be responding.
Give him some jelly nails. Or the drip.
Nurse, double pie, double mesh, triple liquor, stats. I listened to one of my favourite West Ham podcasts the other day, in which the two hosts, who I really enjoy it a lot, right? Mm. It's called The West Ham Way, and they spent a good 15 minutes talking about their favourite foods, right?
Right.
Because it's a bit like our podcast, like listeners will send them questions, but increasingly not about the subject of the podcast, it's about anything. And someone said, what's your favourite food? And for about 15 minutes, they just exchange pie and mash stories, right?
Right.
And about what's the most pie and mash they've ever had in one sitting. And then they got onto what the most pie and mash they ever saw their old dad's eat in one sitting, which was like proper fucking barmy. Like, well, my old dad,
It was very. His standard order was triple pie, triple mash before a game. That's just normal.
Standard order.
If he was hungry, he might have quadruple pie, quadruple mash. I've done it, but it's not something I'd do on the regular, right? And I was listening to it, and I was just really enjoying listening to it. And I thought, this is the most cockney conversation I've ever heard. And I played it to my wife, and she went, how often do you listen to this podcast? And I went, fucking all the time. I said, it's my favourite podcast. Sometimes I re-listen to it. She just looked at me with sheer pity and like, do you know, I knew he was a fool, but now I know what he's doing in his spare time. Listening to men compete over how many pie and mash they've eaten.
Consolidating his foolishness.
Yeah, I really, I don't know why I played it to her. I sort of thought, I don't know, I said, listen to this, it's really nice, it's sort of warm, and she was like, this is pathetic, mate.
Well, you know, it's
but,
good.
You know, it's horses for courses, isn't it?
I suppose
it's about getting to know, it's about developing almost like a relationship in your mind with the podcasters.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's why I think that's why people are like this, because it's just us all the time. You haven't got any fucking cunts getting their mates in to talk about the best fucking what they used to collect when they were 10.
Yeah.
You know, which would be all right,
like Ian McKellen.
Has that been done yet? Hasn't been done yet. We'll do that one.
This week on My First Wank, Ian McKellen. Ian McKellen, what was your first wank? Well, I remember. It was, I was actually rather mature. I was 14 years old. I was aware of wanking, of course I was. But I'd never actually completed the act before.
And the most unusual thing, I am now, of course, a fully-fledged homosexual, but my first ever wank, it was heterosexual.
A heterosexual wank.
Female-based.
I didn't enjoy it, but at the time I wasn't quite sure why.
I wasn't even sure what I was doing, or why. But soon I realised I was very much keen on wanking over the thoughts of men, as opposed to women.
And since then, I have never looked back. Although, of course, I've had to in the act of Congress.
My first one cut's coming up soon. Top Flight Time Machine Productions. And at that point, unbeknownst to us, the recording just cut out and died. So that's the end of that episode. You didn't miss much in the last few minutes, so don't worry about it. Thanks for listening. TTFN dickheads.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.